You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number two. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Your calls at 800-919-3776. And we'll continue with them, with you. Did the Knicks dodge a bullet last night? I mean, they get a win, a big one. But the Jalen Brunson news ended up being a lot more positive than you thought it would be when you originally saw the injury. So we'll see the situation. But as Tom Thibodeau said, it's, you know, it is basically a knee contusion. And when asked if he could play Tuesday, Tom's response was, I guess. And he said, we'll have to see tomorrow, meaning today. So anything we hear about that, keep it right here. We will tell you all about it. I keep checking the injury report and obviously texting people as well to make sure that when something is announced, if anything is announced today, that we will have it if we were on the air while it's happening. In the meantime, there is the NFL Combine all weekend. A lot of different headlines and news. And Bart, like, you came away from this weekend pretty excited and also with some opinion about what you saw from a lot of the offensive linemen.
Well, yeah, you just saw a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. I think those guys put on a show. I think it was a great showing for everybody. I think everybody, you know, stock raised. And, you know, what happens when everybody looks good, then it forces you to go back and look at the film, and because it either confirms or denies what you saw, right? So you saw, you know, that it's a deep wide receiver class. You saw that it is a, you know, a deep lineman draft. So, like, if you're a guy, like, and you feel like you can move back, then maybe there's an opportunity to do that and you feel good about it. Some secrets are out the bag now, right? Because I think when you look at some of the players that, you know, Penix has definitely put himself in the conversation. Because just think, if you're the Jets or Giants, you need a backup quarterback or a guy that you can develop to maybe be a backup, or that can be that Dak Prescott that can come in and develop for a year or two and maybe be a high-end starter. And maybe you teach him how to take care of his body. You give him a chance to be able to be prepared in a year or two when he comes out. You know, maybe a guy like Bo Nix. Like, because, you know, think about these guys. They're older,
more experienced.
Right, but that's good because that's the end. See, they're older, but that's a good thing because they're mature. So when they're about to get this money, they'll be a little bit more mature. Mm. And because they're quarterbacks, they have a life expectancy of 10 to 15 years if they take care of themselves, or 13 years anyway. So the fact that they're being early, who cares? Maybe you get 10 good years out of them. It don't matter. So, like, even though their clock has started a long time ago, because you talk about a lot of these guys are COVID kids that are six-year starters and got the extra year because of COVID, it still works to your benefit because now you're getting a guy that's young that doesn't have a lot of scar tissue on him. Now, I know Penix has had a couple of injuries, but all his medical's cleared, right? So you think about him, you think about Bo Nix, guys have played and thrown a lot of football. You could be developing your backup quarterback. Now, he can't be your backup quarterback immediately. He's going to be your third developmental type of guy. But remember, you can have one of those guys appointed on a new roster underneath the new rules. I just think that he's too good if you have a quarterback, especially if you're the Giants, that when you think about trying to get out of the Daniel Jones thing, but you know you're underneath it for another year, to not see if you can develop this guy and see if he can be the future of your organization.
Now, Penix had a really good, I don't know if you want to call it throw day or throw performance, whatever it is. But
you know what it looks like when it's different, man.
Yeah.
You know what it, like, when I'm
explain
telling
that. When it looks different, what does it mean?
It just flicks off his wrist. It just comes out of his hand so effortlessly, and everybody was goo-goo ga-ga. We talk about the junior whopper hands where he got a double whopper hand, right? So they talk about his hand size, you know, the size, the speed. Well, he didn't run, but the size and athleticism. He's at your traditional pocket quarterback, and he can process fast, and he's had a lot of success, and everybody want to lean to the Michigan game. But remember how everybody was goo-goo ga-ga before the Michigan game. So great defenses can do that, and especially when they're able to dial up blitzes that can get to you early, that changes everybody, right? And he looked a little rattled, but to me, that doesn't – I'm looking at the talent, and you can't teach talent. You can't teach tight deliveries, fast delivery, you know, no wasted motion. You know, I think you know, he's a guy that both teams here has to consider, and the Giants even more, because the Giants have the ability. You can let Tommy DeVito be your backup quarterback, you know, believing that Daniel Jones is going to be ready, and then let Penix sit there and just develop, and then you can elevate him, and he can be your starter in a year if he shows that he's ready to go. Right, I see a lot of Geno Smith and
he was a second round pick.
Yeah,
right?
I see a lot of who was projected to be first, and before, you know, the Michigan game, you know, Penix had put himself almost squarely in that conversation. Like I, of course, you don't put him there with Caleb and all, and maybe Jaden Daniels, and maybe even Trevor May, but I think he's clearly elevated himself to the fourth quarterback in this draft, and we've seen the fourth quarterbacks in recent drafts. You know, you talk about the Sam Darnold, you talk about the usually the fourth when you think about Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield has struck gold because, you know, they didn't have to start. Even though Josh Allen did start, they didn't have to start. So then when they hit the ground, they can hit the ground running.
Remember, Mel Kiper right now has Penix as the fifth rated quarterback in the draft.
Who does he have fourth?
And I think we already know the four guys ahead.
I know
of him.
Three.
Yeah. McCarthy's ahead of him.
Yes. I am not
McCarthy's
a fan.
Ahead of him.
I'm a Michigan fan, and I'm not putting J.J. McCarthy in front of him.
McCarthy is slated as a first round pick somewhere in, you know, like the 12 to 17 range. There is a feeling that Jason Kelce, he's at a press conference right now announcing his retirement, doing so in a cut off sleeves Eagles shirt, which is very fitting for him.
Did he work out before
Adam
he came?
Adam Schefter just reported that. Yeah, it looked like he got a workout in, right?
Did he work out before he came in?
Yeah, and Kelce, very emotional, as you would expect. He's proud, great career, of course, and good luck replacing him if you're the Eagles, right? Like, that's...
Yeah, we all knew this day was coming.
It's a tush push over, you know, once he's gone. So.
Yeah, it's the dawn of a new day as well, right? Yeah. When you think about, you know, Fletcher Cox could be retiring, right? I mean, listen, I wouldn't be mad if Fletcher Cox came over here and played next to Quinnen Williams. No, seriously.
I know you wouldn't be mad.
Like if you remember, they teased that last year.
You brought that up a couple of times, yes.
Yeah, the Jets, you remember the relationship with Joe Douglas, right? So they teased that last year. So, I mean, that may be a nice little play right there, too.
What was that, Dino? Did I hit something?
It may have been your computer. I don't know.
It's the mothership. The mothership.
That kind of scared me a little bit. It's not like Bart's at home and he's got some something in the microwave. Like, that scared me.
Yeah, it's like.
I was much more to make sure we didn't go off the air. That's all. Just heard. That was a weird tone. I don't know if the listeners heard it, but that sounded like something just shut down. Although nothing shut down in front of me. All the screens are up and running, so.
So we all to the goods of it, man.
All right. Hopefully so. 800-919-3776, the number. Tony is in Delaware. Tony?
What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Hey, it just hit me. How about giving me a weekly spot on your show? What's up?
You think it's that easy just to get a weekly spot?
No, I'm just, I'm just throwing it out there. Hey, no harm in asking.
What are you going to do? Here's the thing. It's all about business, right? What are you bringing to the table that will attract listeners to say, I can't miss that segment? What do you got for us?
Well, I'm bringing sports and a tinge of the American way to, the old American way to sports radio.
Right, so how's that different from what we do? How's that different from what we do?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think y'all really get into American way type stuff, as tight as it needs to be hit.
So what do you mean? A sports show on ESPN radio. So what American way stuff needs to be included in what is essentially a sports talk radio show?
Yeah, so the segment kind of when Barb was talking about, hey, we need to go back to XYZ and start, kicking some behind. We need, getting taught on the radio because, kids are listening, young people are listening, and they ain't getting it from nowhere else. So, we got to
young people
these guys' mindset.
You think young people are listening 12 to 3 when most of them are in school?
It's a podcast.
Yeah, 20-year-old, 20 to – they're not all in school. Come on now. There's a lot of 20-year-olds and above that are not in school right now. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of them are skipping school.
They're working crazy in their trucks. You know what I'm saying? Okay. They're doing different things.
Gotcha.
But anyway.
A lot of them are skipping school right now, too.
Well, I mean, on that note I was going to read something that Jamal Crawford posted yesterday that I think is a very interesting thing. But go ahead and make your point first.
Okay, well, first, I just want to thank you for that syllable word, mercurial, earlier. That was a nice one, mercurial.
You like that?
Yeah, that's what I am. That actually describes me. So
are you?
Like, oh snap!
You have a mercurial personality.
Oh yeah, that's me 100%.
That's 100%. That's very concerning.
No, it's not concerning. Hey, look, it's just you know, I shift, you know, but it's always good. It's always respectable.
Mercurial means it's a wide shift. Like, I don't know what I'm getting today. I'm either I'm getting Tony in a great mood or I'm getting Tony in a bad mood. I have no idea today.
Are you a Gemini? Well,
But it's all going to be respectful. It's all going to be respectful,
right,
no matter what mood I'm in, though. So whatever.
Okay.
And then I just want to talk about, there are a lot of quarterbacks that I saw that the Giants can get a quarterback late. Okay. There were a lot of good arms, and I know just throwing deep and all that doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't make you a pro, but there's a lot of QBs. You're going to get a good QB in the third round in this draft, so it ain't about being one, two, or three. I like J.J. He looked pretty good. That dude out of Tennessee looked pretty good. You're talking about Penix.
He brings so much to the table.
There's a lot out there. So I'd like to hear what y'all think about that as far as the depth.
Well, you definitely have options. I don't know, like, outside of Penix, who would you think that you can develop? Like, you know, we've seen guys in drafts like Rattler being taken and Rattler going out and that didn't work out. We've seen the Sam Howells of the world, the non first round draft picks that got starter opportunities that didn't work out. I think Penix is maybe something different. And you know, you can't deny that the talent in this You know, I thought the receivers put on the show, like, who knew that McCaffrey had a brother, right, that was faster than him? You know what I mean? Caught the ball well. You know, I think you can find your Puka Nacua. Like, I feel like everybody, like, it's fracking, right? Everybody's going to try and find a Puka Nacua.
Mm.
Now, everybody's going to try and find a big guy.
Aren't you always?
Nah, but
like you're always trying to find that.
Yeah, but fifth round, you know, nobody, I think, saw, like, Puka Nacua coming. You know what I mean? Fifth round draft pick.
No one saw Dak Prescott coming either. Fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Right? Like the whole idea is you want to find the guy that you think has potential. You get him in your place, coach him up to a point, and then all of a sudden his potential starts to show through. And that's, I think, the exciting thing about the draft. See, the draft nerds are the ones that really get after it on day two and day three.
Yeah.
The day one draft, anybody can do that. Right? You're essentially going to take the best player.
Yeah.
But after, when you get to day two, like, you now, that's your scouting work, and you're also, I think, targeting people that go beyond the talent,
it's
right?
Fit.
That fit, yeah, it's exactly.
Fit. It's fit in your system. Like, you need
that's
somebody,
what you earn your money.
You need somebody that can play a particular role, and can, does that mean that that's the role they're going to play the rest of their life? But no, they have a certain type of skill set that can come in and help your team immediately, or they have a role.
Skills.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, you look at the wide receiver position.
Who do you like that's not an obvious choice, right? You know what I mean. I mean, we all know the obvious choices when it comes to the wide receiver position.
But,
okay?
Well, the Texas boys showed out, right? You know, they have a lot of size. I really haven't got to the point where I can break down, like, with a fine-tooth comb. I'll start doing that in the next week.
Do you know
or so.
About Odunze from Washington? Do you know what?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's a big physical wide receiver, right? But he's a no-brainer, right? You know,
oh, he's an obvious one? I didn't think he was so obvious.
No, yeah, he's top.
Yeah.
He'll go top five. He'll be like the second. It's an argument that he should be the second receiver taken off the board.
Oh, really?
Behind Marv. Yeah.
Ahead of Neighbors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's different, right?
Okay.
You know, and, you know, also like Keon Coleman, I liked him the entire thing, but he ran a 4.6, but that means nothing because Jerry Rice ran a 4.6. He's a big physical receiver.
Mm-hmm.
People see guys like the Baltimore Ravens taking him like in the 30s. Like, he's a first-round draft pick. You know, not everybody's going to test well, right? And not everybody.
That's true, too.
You know, it's different, you know, size and speed. You know, he's 6'3", though, 213. Like, he's a Vincent Jackson.
Mike Evans?
Mike Evans type of receiver, man. That's, like, big,
yep.
You know. He
physical
he,
receiver.
Yeah, high-pointed. You know what I mean? Remember guys like Anquan Boldin wasn't fast either. You know, he was just a big physical receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be guys like that come off the board. He had a ton of productivity when you think about being a number one guy at Florida State. So it's going to be guys out there that's going to fall like second round, third round, you know, fourth round, fifth round. Remember, Antonio Brown was a fourth round draft pick. Emmanuel Sanders was a fourth round draft pick. You know, you need to find somebody that translates to your system. That's important. And I think it's so much to pick from, man. Like, And you heard Joe Douglas. I think I heard him say that, you know, how he was salivating. Like, hey, it's a lot of things out there that the Jets need that's going to be available. And he's going to have to hit the ball out of the park because, you know, him and Joe Shane.
But Joe Shane has, to me, it's, I don't think it's an easy decision at six. I think it's difficult because when you get to six,
it all depends.
You're going to get the best of several positions available to you. It just, what is the one that's going to be the best for us?
Yeah, and really for me, what that means is, you know, what are we going to get in free agency? That's what it's about.
But you'll know already. That's the best thing about the draft.
So that's what I'm saying.
Going after free agency.
Like we're about to be in pro day season, right? So we're going to start seeing people again because it's going to be pro day season. But we're going to gush and we're going to start looking at these guys and we're going to start getting the insiders. This is where the local reporters come into play because they're going to start tapping into their resources, talking to some of these player personnel guys and kind of seeing where they're leaning, who they like, what's going on, who's moving up boards, right? You know, because that's what's going to happen. Guys are going to skyrocket up the boards because of the name recognition. And, you know, you already see it starting to happen already. Because you hear like the Talese Funga guy, a guy that everybody thought. Remember when everybody was saying, "Oh, Joe Douglas was at his game, Oregon State."
Yeah,
right. He loves him. Now you know they had him fall into the Jets.
Yeah, Fuaga, you're talking about from Oregon State.
Yeah. Did I say Washington State?
No. Okay. You just said Funga.
So Talese Funga.
Yeah, you had the first name right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you see him like
Kiper has him going all the way down to 18 now.
No. I saw. You know, people have him going to the Giants at six.
Oh right? My God, that's a wide range.
I prefer the Jets go get him. You know what I'm saying? I prefer
like, and Olufoshanu, who everybody was raving about from Penn State,
he dropping like a ton of
it's
bricks.
Amazing. Kiper has him at 14. He was suspected to be one of the top tackles taken.
They said his comp was Joe Thomas and Tyron Smith.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
How the hell are you picking Tyron Smith and Joe Thomas 18th?
Well,
like he has dropped like a ton of bricks, man. No, I think Joe Ault is the clear number one guy off the board.
Again, the latest from Kiper at 7 to the Titans.
Joe Ault, right?
Yes. They actually have J.C. Latham from Alabama going 5th, the first tackle off the board.
Who?
Yeah.
From Alabama?
Yep, J.C. Latham.
Ah, man, this is crazy.
360 pounds, a right tackle. You know, like this is like you're looking at need for the Chargers on the right side, and this would fit that need.
Yeah, but you know they also just lost their center.
Great run blocker.
I think Corey Lindsey's going to retire. I think he's got health issues.
Okay,
but you know, I wonder
how these next couple of weeks can be interesting.
You know what? I can get this information for San Diego.
I do know L.A. I know you can.
Yeah, I talked to my guy the other day. Shout out to
your guy
Joe Ortiz and everybody out there. Harbaugh, they're doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But Chad Alexander, is the assistant general manager.
Right.
You know, now as well. So he's taking everything that he was been scouting for the Jets.
Exactly.
He just took it all the way across the country.
Well, the good news is now he doesn't have to keep those secrets, so he could tell us what the Jets were planning on doing.
Exactly. So I can get it straight from the mouth. Like, hey, this is where this was our board, this is where we had him.
Yeah.
And then I got the upgrade. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm out. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on, man. Like, and now the games begin. Let the games begin.
Yeah.
Because guys are going to start going with misdirections, right? Guys are going to start going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be the old banana in the tailpipe. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, last year, everybody knew that the Jets wanted to get the guy from Georgia. And I think Pittsburgh moved up one spot right before him and took him. And I wonder, does the Jets have to be –
Who? All right, I'm going to give you – so if the Jets want to get their tackle, they'll have to move up.
In front of potentially
– So the Bears obviously aren't trading that pick. The Commanders are not trading their pick. You're not trading with the Patriots. We can take that off the table, right? New England's not doing a deal with you.
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals.
No, they're not letting
Marvin Harrison?
Yeah, they're not letting him.
They're locked. So there's nothing you can do unless it's, of course, trading Garrett Wilson. There's nothing you can do to get them.
Because where's – who's you said fourth, right? So
fourth.
Who's fifth?
The Chargers.
The Chargers are fifth.
You think you can do a deal with them? You think you can do a deal with them?
No, because you potentially are in the same market.
And you're looking for, well, you're looking for the same thing, basically, right?
Right. You know, because they took a receiver last year. They already had their receivers. You know, we thought maybe the tight end was going to go there.
Brock right? Bowers?
Yeah. Early indications was that Bowers was going to be the guy there.
Well, Bowers right now is mocked to the 10 spot for the Jets.
In some drafts.
If the Chargers know that nobody's going to take Bowers, would, you know, like, anyways. So the Chargers, you don't think could be a trade partner?
I mean.
Especially with your boy, with Chad there.
Yeah, but
could we work out a little something?
But I'm looking at protecting the franchise.
Right.
They got Slater on the left side.
Right, and then you get a right. You get this. Obviously, Latham is a massive right tackle who's great at run blocking.
Right. I don't know if they want Latham.
Well, this is what this is again.
How do you pass on Joe Alt?
I know.
I know he's a left tackle, but
yeah. What Mel is saying is that because he's a great run blocker and he's a natural right tackle. Like, you're not bringing him. He's not a left tackle you're converting.
Because that's what happened to Evan Neal.
Right.
He came in.
And they made him play right.
He looks like crap. And so, I think if he played his natural position, he would have translated.
So Mel is suggesting that him with Rashawn Slater would be just an outstanding bookend.
Yeah.
The two of them, because of the natural fit. That's why he's saying Latham. Again, Latham, 360 pounds, Alabama guy. So, you know, like, he's played against the best.
Like Evan Neal.
Well, the Giants aren't, you know, they're not.
I don't know how.
So then you get to Titans, and there's your Joe Alt pick right there. Why would the Titans trade out when they need the same thing you need? You got to rebuild their offensive line for Will Levis.
So if you're the Jets, knowing that you know Chad Alexander, knowing that you know Joe Ortiz because they all started together.
Do the Chargers want to get more picks and flip with you, thinking we could still get our guy at 10?
How about this?
Because you can get Latham at 10.
How about this?
What?
How about I do you a solid and you do me a solid?
What do you want to do?
I'll franchise tag Bryce Huff. And after I franchise tag Bryce Huff, I'll also give you a third-round draft pick. We'll swap third-round draft picks.
And?
No, we're not going to swap them. I'll give you a four. I'll give you a three. You give me your four.
What are you doing?
I'm swapping with you. You don't feel me?
Mm.
So listen to this.
Why am I? What does Bryce Huff have to do with this?
They're going to cut Joey Bosa. And Khalil Mack is old as hell. He had his best season, but he's old as hell. So now you have to get cheaper.
Wow.
Joey Bosa was the first $100 million pass rusher.
I see what you're doing.
He's been unhealthy for the last 2 years. You got to get after Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So
you're going to make Bryce Huff available to them at some point.
The same thing that the Bengals are doing with T. Higgins. They franchise tagged him to trade him.
Yeah.
They didn't franchise tag him to sign him.
Uh-huh.
The Jets don't have anybody to franchise tag, so I'll franchise tag him.
And then we'll work on that later. We'll do
right,
that later.
Because your right tackle still may be there at 10, right?
Latham is a reach at 5 or at 5, but he's not at 10.
Right. So so I go up and I get Joe Alt.
Ooh.
So now I got my left tackle. I go up and I get Joe Alt. You're going to get your same guy at 10 anyway, and now you have Bryce Huff.
Now, another thing to keep in mind is that Kiper, from what he knows, calls Tennessee at 7 a team to watch for a trade down because he wants to collect more draft picks because they've got a lot of holes to fill.
Jets don't got draft picks.
Well,
they ain't got draft picks.
Yeah.
Giants got drafted.
Giants are the team, but they don't have to go to 7. They're at 6.
Right. So if I'm the Jets, I'm a tag. But see, this is the thing. Joe can have those conversations now with a guy that he just employed less than a month ago.
I know.
So if we want to work together, help each other.
Right. Help me help you.
Right. And you know Bryce Huff more than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what he brings.
Like, you don't have to pay. Listen, Bryce Huff going to get paid. You don't have to pay Bryce Huff what you're paying Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa's $100 million. So I'm a tag I'm going to tag Huff.
Okay.
And I'm going to trade him to San Diego, and I'm going to swap picks with them. And I'm going to get him a fourth. I'm going to get him a third, and you give me your fourth.
Well, the math has to work out on that, but
I'm giving you,
if there's a trade
you.
Partner in the top 10, it's got to be the Chargers because of your relationship with them.
Yes. Not only do the assistant general manager used to work for you a month ago,
mm-hmm.
you worked and grew up in the Ravens system with Joe Ortiz, who was the head of college scouting and the guy who found me. So if I'm the Jets and I have to have Joe Alt.
There's your partner.
I have to have Joe Alt, and you have to have a right. Listen, especially if you're not getting Alt because you got Slater, so you need a natural right tackle. Help me get up there so I can get my left tackle, and you'll get your pass rusher and your right tackle anyway, and an extra pick.
Listen to what he says about him. Alt is his – this is Mel Kiper. My top-ranked tackle in the class, one of the most consistent pass blockers I've studied over the past few years. He doesn't get beat often. Boom. It's exactly what they need. You need a trade partner to get him. This might be the way to do it.
And Bryce Huff is a piece that you were going to let go for nothing anyway.
Right.
And so
instead,
that's the thing.
You
so
can
not,
help them get a guy that can replace a higher, a more expensive piece that does the same thing.
Right. And a guy that's always hurt. Now, and that way they don't have to compete for Bryce Huff. They get him at a price at a.
I like it. I like it. I mean, it's a good way to start. And we got plenty more to talk about. Again, we got weeks to go. But as free agency begins, all this kind of stuff starts to come up. And for the Giants, like I said, there's going to be a lot of options at six. But for the Jets, there's only one way to go.
Yeah.
And you got to get the best one. And you got to be aggressive to do it. You got to find a trade partner. And maybe we just did. 800-919-3776. We got your calls. And, of course, we have audio files coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, on the road, banged up. They lose Jalen Brunson a minute into the game. And still, the Knicks find a way to get a win. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said this Knicks team is a perfect fit for New York City.
There's never any quit in this team. I mean, we keep using the word resiliency, but I mean, I don't know a better word to describe this team. They just fight. They scrap whatever it takes.
This really is a New York team, isn't it?
It really is.
When you look at what the New York fan base loves, it is defined by this team. You're not going to outwork them. You're not going to out-tough them. They're going to give you every single ounce of everything they have. They want to be out there. They fight for I mean, Josh Hart played, 45 minutes, and there's not a loose ball that he's not fighting for.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the calls are at 800-919-3776. We'll keep them stacked, racked, and ready to go, and we will get back to the conversation with you. But right now, you know what time it is. It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio
Files. The Audio File.
All right, Audio Files begins with where we began with the show, which is last night in the Knicks with a win that was just, again, on brand for the type of team they are. A hardworking win, an inspiring win, done with Jalen Brunson playing 47 seconds before he left with an injury. More on that in a moment. But this Knicks team, without four starters, went into Cleveland, who didn't play without Donovan Mitchell, but had still have been playing very good basketball for since the turn of the calendar, 2024. And they won a game on the road, a big game that kept them in fourth place. And for Tom Thibodeau, it is, again, just proud of how hard this team plays.
For us, that's how we have to play. When you're shorthanded, your margin of error is really small. So you have to play with great intensity, great concentration on every play. That's the one thing I'm proud of. These guys have been, you know, we haven't had our starting front line for a long time. And so now you add in Jalen and then put the guys who were in there, got the job done. So, and that's why you have a team. You know, Deuce was fantastic.
And then there's Josh Hart. And Josh Hart had his third triple-double of his career. All three of them, by the way, over the last 6 weeks. I mean, he has been phenomenal as he went from being a key bench player to a key starter who, had, by the way, at 6'4", had 19 rebounds in his triple-double. That's going up against a big front line of Cleveland. Josh Hart talking to Bill and Clyde after the game last night on MSG just about the motor that he plays with.
Whenever I step on this court, that competitive side of me kicks in, and I just want to go out there. I want to play. I want to play every possession, and that's just the competitor in me, and I think that's what everybody wants to do. And at the end of the day, I can just control what I can control, pray for protection every game, just go out there and hoop without even thinking about it.
I mean, Bart, this is a guy that is easy to root for because he does the one thing that all fans ask, give me everything you got. He does every night.
I think he's as important to the Knicks as Bruce Brown was last year to
Denver.
That's
a great.
Whatever they need him to do, he can do. If they need him to give him starter minutes, he can do that. If he need him to come off the bench and be a spark, he can do that. Need him to just be a spot up guy, shoot the three, got it. Need him to shut down a great wing, play defense, got it. And those guys are priceless.
Well,
and he's always available to
him. And that's helpful. Now, also priceless has been Jalen Brunson all year. But he had this weird injury to start the game where you didn't see contact. He went up for a jumper, kicked his leg out, landed, went right down, grabbed his knee. And, of course, everybody in New York just gasping and expecting the worst. Oh, no, here we go. You have Edwin Diaz, you have Aaron Rodgers, and now this. We can never have nice things in New York. But then they called it a sore knee during the game, said he was his questionable return. And then they finally said he wasn't going to return. And then after the game, Tom Thibodeau spoke about the injury as if it wasn't really that bad.
Knee contusion, so he had x-rays, the negative, so that's where it is. He bumped knees, that's what happened.
I mean, Bart, he also went on to say, when asked by a reporter, well, I mean, you play on Tuesday night, could he play on Tuesday? And Tibbs was like, I guess, we'll have to see how he feels tomorrow. And so that is a stunning turn of events because it did feel like something really bad happened. And of course, there was no way to overcome that. You could just sense it. Everybody was feeling that way.
Yeah, I think anytime someone goes down like that, you have concern. He felt a little better. He got the x-rays. He was examined by the doctors. That news is good.
That news is good. Hard to believe. And Josh Hart kind of also suggested that they weren't really overly concerned about the longevity of this one.
I don't know. You know, at first, you want to make sure it's nothing serious. Then, you know, I'm not sure what tip is. I don't think it's, you know, too serious. So obviously, that's just something that's, you know, pops into your mind. And then, you know, you just got to go out there and just hoop, you know, and you can't play and thinking like, all right, we got to just keep this close. He's going to come back or whatever. You just got to go out there and just play with the hand that you're dealt. And I feel like we did a really good job with that.
And that's what they've been having to do all year. Now, just to put a bow on this, OG Anunoby and Julius Randle both worked out yesterday. They were cleared for minimal contact, just a little light contact, which means you're not playing against someone. The coaches have like a pad, and they'll just kind of like hit you when you're going up. And that's the first step. How do you react to that? And the next thing is probably some one-on-one with contact, and it's 3-on-3. And so we could be talking about days to maybe a week before we see one or both of these guys back in the lineup. And then we'll also, like I said, we'll see what the story is with Brunson and his situation because, you know, that obviously is important too. Does he miss any time? Does he miss some time? But the feeling is it won't be a lot of time. So nothing yet on Brunson, but I'll certainly keep an eye on that for you. Meanwhile, more in the NBA, something that we saw on Saturday night, Bart Scott, is LeBron James hitting the 40,000-point mark in his career.
LeBron James.
Which he is already the all-time leading scorer in the history of the sport.
What does this dude do is now, fight?
Oh, a Rempe, yes.
God.
But this is, again, from over the weekend. They just keep showing it because it's Reeves, and Reeves is a heavyweight. Back to LeBron. So here's the thing. You know all the records in sports that you're like, this will never be broken? He was asked if he thinks anybody will ever reach 40,000.
I have no idea. Obviously, you have to play the game quite a while and have some good luck as far as injuries and things of that nature. You have to take care of your body. You have to be present on the floor. And then you have to be productive as well. Obviously, we have a lot of great guys in our league that can score the ball. And you know, if they were to stay healthy and they were to play a long time, then they can eclipse it. But, you know, you can't account for what could possibly happen. So I can't sit here and say, you know, who would it be in our league today? And their records are always meant to be broken. You can never say never of any record.
You can never say never. But what he said about the longevity, that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
What he's done that is so remarkable is the fact that he can play at a high level like he is for as long as he's been playing. And that is what makes it so difficult to believe that somebody could do it again.
The haters will say that Kareem, if he would have played and went straight there from high school, would have had that record maybe. What do an average player a year kind of put up? Like, what's the clip? Like 4,000, 5,000 points, 3,000 points?
I'd have to look. It's not something I know off the top of my head.
Okay, yeah.
But it's a couple. Yeah, it's a couple thousand.
Okay, so you would think maybe it would be 8,000 more away if Kareem would have went there straight from there. So that's what people always say. Well, it's like, it's this argument.
Remember, Kareem played 20 years, and that's who LeBron had to beat.
Yeah, but.
And that's for Kareem to last as long as he did.
Yeah,
it's pretty remarkable.
But I'm saying, like, LeBron had four more prime years because he was younger, had more energy. Like, you can say that the last four of LeBron's was probably fresher legs than, say, LeBron. Because, like, Kareem played to, like, what, 42?
Kareem played to, I think, 40, 41? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, just say two more of those prime years, right, would have been more fresh.
Remember, yeah, he remember, Kareem also played 4 years in college.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
So that's
what I'm saying. Like, take those last two of Kareem and make it like.
Yeah, LeBron came in at 18. Right. That's a good point. So he missed those first couple of years. So
he left some good years. He gave a good couple good years to John Wooden.
But still, for LeBron, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what the haters would say.
Yeah, but I think this is not something you can. Meanwhile, speaking of scoring records, Caitlin Clark already became the all-time leading women's scorer.
Yeah.
And then also, because a lot of people bring up Lynette Woodward as somebody that wasn't given credit for NCAA scoring record, passed her as well. And then at the very end, you have, of course, over the weekend, Caitlin Clark passing Pistol Pete Maravich as the highest scoring Division I basketball player, men's or women's.
Now that's something.
In a career. And you know, just remarkable. So,
why doesn't she have? Why don't we hear about
her? In 4 years, she's over. What
she
got to
stay another
3,685 career points, and you're right.
She can stay another year.
She
if she wanted
could
to.
If she wanted to.
How can she play 5 years?
One more year. Again, I believe it has something to
COVID.
Do with COVID. Yeah, but she has chosen. She's should, already said she's coming out.
Yeah, if you're gonna play,
she's going to the WNBA. Yeah, like,
but yo, she's going to go to Indiana because they have the first pick, so everybody knows that she's going to go there. And I heard that the ticket price is already going up in Indiana already. But just imagine, like, I don't know if that's a big enough market. Like, I guess we don't want her in Vegas. We don't want her, but don't you want her in a place where, like, she can be put on a big stage in a big market?
Well, Indiana loves basketball.
I know they do, but does ratings and outside people outside there care about that?
I don't
know.
I mean, the Detroit Shock won championships.
Yes,
right?
Swing Cash.
And they were great players on that team.
But
did it matter?
But Detroit is a bigger
Seattle
market.
Seattle Storm, were great teams with Sue Bird.
I mean, but Detroit is bigger than Indiana. Indiana's like,
no, I know. I'm not
like
saying
Arkansas.
I wouldn't go that. It's a huge. They love their basketball in Indiana.
Yes, they do.
That building will sell out for her.
It'll sell out.
And everywhere she goes around the league will also get a lot of attention. When she comes to play against the Liberty, you'll get a big crowd for that. When she plays in L.A., big crowd there.
You just want her in a big team. You just want her with big teammates. Well, so I hope if they draft her, they also go out in free agency.
Oh, you mean you want her on a good team?
Yes.
Well, of course.
Yes, because you want her on a stage.
Okay. Well,
where she can prove it. Because who's the big dog? Is it is Waller's wife, right? Plum?
Yeah, well, she's
who
one
record
of,
she beat. You want to see her have
Kelsey,
to go.
Right.
You want to see if she can get through
Well, Brianna Stewart is one of the big players now. She's an MVP and all that stuff. Yeah. But you want to see if the all-time great-wise, can she get to Diana Taurasi levels? Where you're winning multiple titles, multiple MVPs.
Who's better?
Taurasi's playing. You talk about LeBron. Taurasi's still playing. She's 41.
Who's better, Taurasi or Sue Bird?
Taurasi's the to me, she's the all-time great.
She's
women's basketball.
She's the LeBron James.
She's won at every level. She's won like 5 gold medals. She's won. I mean,
but
it's incredible.
Sue Bird got 4 championships.
But
remember, she has a commercial.
I think Diana has more WNBA, she has more college, and she has more Olympics than any other women's player.
Okay.
I believe that's the case. And then she's also won multiple MVPs as well. So anyways, can we hear from Caitlin Clark on being the all-time men's or women's leading scorer in Division I?
It's really, like, crazy to think about. Like, honestly, if you would have told me that before my college career started, I would have laughed in your face and been like, no, you're insane. And, like, I've always been able to score the ball, but I don't think people really understand how many amazing players have come before me and, like, been able to score the ball and do it at such a high rate and do it for teams that are really, really good. And just to be in the same realm of all these players that have been so successful, whether it's Pete or whether it's Kelsey Plum or Lynette Woodard, like, all these people I've just given so much to the game. So, you know, hopefully somebody comes after me and breaks my records and I can be there supporting them. And that's what makes the game of basketball so fun. But yeah, it'll definitely hit me at some point.
Oh, she's already there. Her name's Juju. Man, that girl, Juju next.
Okay.
Have you seen Juju?
No.
USC?
Yeah.
She on that ass already, son.
Different. Okay. Freshman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yo, she different.
I'll keep an eye out.
I think she averaged like 24.
I'll keep an eye out. All right, that's Audio Files. 800-919-3776. We'll get back to your calls and more, and remembering a good friend, not just to our show, not just to ESPN, to the sport of football, to the business of media. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, I just wanted to take a minute in this show. In the years that we've been together now doing this show, we go through the gamut of different guests and different people that we have on, and then we have our regulars and people we love to have on. And Chris Mortensen was one of our favorite guests. Not only because of obviously the wealth of information that he has and obviously his history in covering the NFL, but because the enthusiasm that he would always bring to our show. Like, who were we, right? Like, we were a midday show, we were national for a while, and he was always ready to come on with
so
us,
gracious.
Always happy to come on with us, and then he would just love to talk. Like, he would, He just was somebody that injected so much energy into a lot of things that he did for ESPN, but it didn't matter what level the show it was, that enthusiasm was always there. And the chance I had to meet him and talk to him face-to-face and incredibly gracious, you're seeing a lot of different people in the outpouring of emotion as the news came yesterday that we lost Chris Mortensen at the age of 72. He died Sunday morning. We know he had been through a lot medically, but yet even through some of that stuff, he was, you know, again, reach out to him. Do you have it in you? You want to come on? And he always would say yes.
Yeah.
And he always came on with that same energy, and he always had something to share with us.
It's perspective, right?
You know what I mean?
About what we were talking about, yeah. The perspective of how it's seen. And he's just always able to, you know, almost educate us about, you know, how, you know, teams are thinking about a certain situation.
He never didn't have information on something. He never was caught up, I'm not sure. He just always had information. Because that was what he loved the most, is the gathering information and the people that he would talk to. And he was somebody that you just always knew that if I need to know something, how do I phrase this? What's the right way to discuss this? Even if he couldn't come on as a guest, Mort, like, what do we say about this story? What's the right way to go? He'd always be quick to just let you know, okay, this is what I can tell you. This is what is you can be confident in going with this.
Yeah.
And that's just what made him such a valuable member of ESPN. Somebody that was, for me personally, now you as a player, I'm sure, different perspective.
Yeah,
me?
Always looking for the Mort report. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yo, they going to cut me with my cap.
Mort knew.
Who going to sign me?
Mort knew.
Give me, hey, Mort.
Yeah, what are you hearing?
Let everybody know, you know what I'm saying?
But
I got five teams that want me.
But for me, he's somebody that when you talk about this era now of people like me who started out as a journalist, right? Started out as a sports writer of a newspaper. And then you make this transition into broadcasting and it turns into a career that you never expected. Like when you go to college, you don't think about this stuff because when I was going to college, this wasn't really a thing. But you know who did make it a thing? Chris Mortensen. He was a sports writer. That's where it began for him. But in the early 90s, he moved to ESPN and became their NFL reporter. And he became an on-air personality and somebody that was able to take what used to be written word and turn it into spoken word and pretty much do it and set a standard that everybody else, you know, Peter Vesey is another guy I always look to as somebody that was a sports writer who then took it to the broadcasting piece and was able to do the same thing. Whatever I wrote, I'll just tell you instead of writing it. And it opened that door for a lot of people like me. So without people like Chris Mortensen, you know, this what I get to do and a lot of other people that you see in this business get to do wouldn't happen. So just wanted to take a moment here to just remember a really good friend of ours, a friend of our show.
Trailblazer, man.
And somebody that has, yeah, exactly, a trailblazer has been the best way to put it. Somebody that was not just an award-winning journalist, not just somebody that all the accolades is one thing.
He's a voice
of an
era. But
if you knew him personally.
Like, he's a voice of an era.
He's a genuine man.
Yeah, he's a voice of an era, man.
Yeah.
You think about, you had to figure out what the Mort report was, right? You think about him. You think about Berman, the relationship with Tom Jackson,
yep.
Him coming in on TV, mm-hmm. like breaking some of the hottest, biggest news ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and he hasn't been able to do it as much because of the health, but no. Man, he was.
And he mentored Adam Schefter, by the way.
Yeah.
And Adam Schefter always credits his career to Chris Mortensen and how he welcomed him in with open arms. And worked with him as a teammate rather than seeing him as a threat.
Exactly.
Which also speaks a lot to the character of the man. So just for today and then obviously forever.
Say a little prayer for his family.
Yeah, and rest in peace, Chris Mortensen. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.